Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters, but not today, Shane. Today, I'm Spurs up, Mike, and I can tell you're feeling pretty cocky over there because he's Cousin Shade, but not today. He's Cock Shade. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, buddy, we missed you yesterday. Damn glad to see you're back.
Good to be back.
And, man, we still got some team previews to get through, so I'm trying to roll on these throughout. I think this could be the first year ever we knock them all out.
I'm surprised, Mike. Usually some crazy news has popped off. You know, Coach O tried. You know, if he was employed, that would have been a good one. But, yeah, not a lot of news going on, so it's good to get these fall camp previews out. And I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. It makes me feel smarter. I know the smart guys usually here Monday, but after I do these, I feel smarter about these football teams. So I appreciate all the work and effort you've put into it, Mike, and I am definitely ready to talk a little Gamecock football today.
Okay, well, let's just dive right in, Shane. And as we always like to do, let's recap last season here just briefly. But, man, the Gamecocks got hot late, Shane. I said it time and time again. I think they should have been the ones that made the college football playoff, went 9-4, 9-3, really. I mean, hell, who in the hell counts the bowl game with key players sitting out? But we had 5-3 in the SEC, and nobody was hotter, beating Oklahoma, A&M, Vanderbilt, Mizzou, the Puppies of Wolford, and Clemson on the road to finish us up. So optimism is high. We've got two of the best players in the country coming back, Lenore Sellers and Dylan Seward. So, man, it is a great time, and that's, you know, the title of this episode, Shane. Bamer building an SEC playoff power here. You know, this year will kind of define that, but last year they proved it, blowing all of our expectations out of the water.
Yeah, and it's a tough act to follow, isn't it, Mike? I mean, we're talking about a football team here that was in a lot of conversations toward the end of the season last year on why they should be in the college football playoffs. Some people were upset that they didn't make it. And, you know, you kind of go back, you're looking at a couple of these red losses here. I mean, how close was that Bama game? How close was the LSU officiating game? You know, there was a lot of moments in the season that you probably didn't think much of it outside of South Carolina in that time. But when you look back, you're like, damn, this team was so close. And who knows what would have happened if they got in there. But like I said, tough act to follow. They got a lot of expectations because with all those victories, Mike, the standards kind of change a little bit there in Columbia.
Yes, and shout out Cousin Jesse. He's a big Gamecock, Shane. He early contender comment of the show here. He said, man, I wish I could find it. He said, all Shanes deserve more respect. And I don't know if he's talking Cousin Shade. I don't know if he's talking Shane Beamer, but either way, he nailed it.
He's right. He's right. And I've never met an ugly Shane now that we're talking about it.
And shout out Cousin Michael Dunlap, Shade. Been waiting on this one. Spurs up Beamer ball to the moon. Yeah. We appreciate you, Cousin Michael. And Michael Raleigh, shout out Michael Raleigh. He's back, Shane. And I believe he said his wife just finished nursing school last episode. Oh, wow. So congrats to her. You missed that, so I just wanted you to be updated. Aren't you Absolutely. Worried about Bamer sustaining success? He has yet to do it after a good season. That's what the haters say, but not on this damn one, Michael Raleigh. This one, he's all in. And shout out Cousin Ben. I don't even want to read his name today. He's changed it. But he just gifted a membership, Shane. So shout out. Let me read that real quick. Cousin Ben. Again, who's changed his name to, he's blessed Shane, Felix the Cat. Felix,
welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
And it wouldn't be that SEC podcast, Shane, without this man.
The legend, Cousin JR, has done it again.
This time, Shane, JR has blessed Sub 7. Welcome to the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
And Shane, I think you got them Tennessee Vols on cloud nine because Cousin Tony, go Vols.
Yeah,
he's extended for another month. So we appreciate you, Cousin Tony. Go back and check out the, maybe not now, wait till this show's over. But we previewed Tennessee on the last one, and the homers got Tennessee winning 11 games this year.
I couldn't turn it off. You know, I try to give them 10. I try to give them 10, but 11's the ceiling for me, Mike. I am excited about Tennessee. But you know what else? I'm excited that we don't have to face the South Carolina Gamecocks this year.
Hey, one more shout out to Cousin Pablo. Shay says, SEC Mike with a fresh cut. Cousin Shane still has better hair.
Hey,
speaking of Bieber, so here's his updated record, Shane, against the SEC. He's 29-22 overall, four seasons.
Yeah.
The most wins ever, Shane, ever. By a South Carolina head coach after four seasons. Better record than damn Steve Spurrier, who is obviously one of, if not the, well, I don't know about the greatest because we got Nick Saban, but I'd put Spurrier in the, you know, slam dunk top five all-time SEC head coaches. Mm-hmm. Beamer's 15-17 in the conference after four seasons. 4-0 against Vanderbilt. Get the hell out of here. 3-1 against Kentucky. 2-2 against A&M. Remember, they couldn't beat A&M to save their lives. Right. Now they're 500, so that's a major improvement. Auburn, Oklahoma, Mississippi State, get the hell out of here. You can't beat Beamer. He killed Tennessee that one year, cost Tennessee a playoff spot. Florida, he's gotten a couple Florida coaches fired. Missouri, now he's 1-3 against Missouri. We got to turn that around. And then 0-1 against Bama, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and 0-3 against Georgia. But hell, everybody's 0-whatever against Georgia, feels like, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And I look at the rivalries, man. That's mainly what I'm looking at here with Coach Beamer. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't consider Kentucky a rival, but it got pretty heated there for a long period of time. And the fact you own it, A&M, it's been back and forth. Now you got Mizzou. You got that monkey off your back. You know, there are some definite rooms for improvement here in South Carolina, but I think they're in the right direction, man, you know, because it's tough to highlight all the seasons. You look at two in particular seasons, there was a lot of wins accumulated, and I feel like Shane Beamer is definitely the guy there in Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out, one more shout out, Shane. Cousin Rick, what a legend. What a legend, Shane. He's back, member for 10 months. He's the biggest Aggie out there, Shane, so we appreciate you, Cousin Rick.
Thank you, cuz. I really appreciate it, man.
Forget everything I said about them losing to South Carolina.
Yeah, let's get to it, too. I mean, it's not, you know, South Carolina doesn't own it, but.
And then real quick, coordinator change, Shane, which is, you know, this will be interesting. Dow Loggins, former offensive coordinator, he's now at Appy. He's the head coach down there. But they promoted Mike Shula, who's been a head coach in this conference, Alabama. He's been in the NFL, worked with Cam Newton, and he was an analyst all last year. So, to me, there's not like this, well, first of all, maybe not a drop-off at all, but I really like the fact that he's already been on staff. Lenore Sellers, he's already got the seal of approval from our star quarterback. There's not going to be any newness there. There is a chance, Shane, that South Carolina has a better offensive coordinator this year. And I'm not trying to, you know, talk down to Dow Loggins because he did a heck of a job last year.
Right.
But with Coach Shula and Clayton Whiteback, who has emerged as one of the best defensive coordinators in the conference, we potentially have one of the best pairings of coordinators in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, I tried firing Loggins plenty of times, you know, last couple of seasons. So I'm excited. And it just feels like that's what happens when you're there. You know, coaches that maybe you weren't familiar with all of a sudden become shortlist coaches at the end of the year for head coaching jobs. So, yeah, it's a machine that they're starting to run there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into, Shane, the returning production from last year's South Carolina Gamecocks. 54% of the offense is back. That's sixth in the SEC. So this is a big reason for optimism on why Carolina can take another continued step. A little over 87% of the passing is back. That's number four in the SEC, led, of course, by Lenore Sellers. Rushing yards, just a hair under 50%, which is ninth in the SEC. Receiving yards, over 51% of the production from last year is back. That's number three in the conference. And then offensive line snaps, a little middle of the road here, 43.6% of the offensive line snaps from last year is back. That is ninth in the conference. But they bring back, Shane, both starting offensive tackles.
Yeah.
And if you're only bringing back two starting offensive linemen, give me the tackles. We can work the other guys out. So again, a lot of optimism here that, you know, this is going to be the unit that kind of leads us to glory this fall.
Is that kid's name Tree or is that Trey?
I call him Big Tree,
I mean, boy, again, another kid just destined to be on the offensive line. I know that's probably not the only thing I should be looking at here, Mike. We're super excited about Lenore Sellett, Le Heisman coming back for South Carolina here. But, you know, I think, too, a little bit we're sleeping on this receiver room. And especially you feel like this is next year, don't you? You know, you just feel like this is the season that he kind of takes the reins. And I'm looking forward to this offense in particular, man.
Right. And don't forget Mazio Bennett. He was all SEC freshman.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Harbor, you referenced, you know, he is still learning the position. Mm-hmm. So this is his third year in college. This is going to be his money year, perhaps.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. Me and Nick are doing a 40-yard dash, right? Let's say he's at the goal line. And
are
I'm
you in the truck or what?
No. I'm close to the 40. Like, what yard line should I be at to actually have a chance to beat Nick? So he's starting at the goal line. We're doing a 40-yard dash. Am I at, like, the 32, you think?
Maybe? I was going to say 31 and a half.
31 and a half, yeah. And even then, I still like his odds. He's fast as hell, man.
All right, defensive returning production. Now, again, here's a little bit. We're a little bit of a work in progress. 45% of the defensive production from last year's back. That is 12th in the SEC. A little over 30% of the tackles are back from last year. That's 15th in the SEC, Shane. Our top five tacklers are gone. Six of the top seven are gone. Tackles for loss, 33.3%. That is also 15th. In the SEC, interceptions, 42.9%. That is 14th in the SEC. Passes defended, 61.8%. That's 7th in the SEC. Defensive back snaps, 64%. That is 9th in the SEC. And defensive line snaps, a little over 38%, which is 10th in the SEC. So a common theme, they're in the second half, the back half, if you will, of returning production. Pretty much across the board, but we still got Dylan Stewart, who may very well be the best defensive lineman in the nation. We've got some returners coming back at defensive back, but if you got a real concern about Carolina, it's to me, Shane, it's six of the front seven is gone. So we're again, we're not devoid of talent by any means, but that is a serious question mark coming into this year.
Well, I mean, and the main thing we talked so much about last year, besides Mr. Sellers, was his defense. And, you know, you hope that there's not a drop off, but it seems like every conversation I have about defense says, well, we still have Dylan Stewart, you know, well, you know, it's going to take more than one guy to bring this defense, you know, up to the standards that was created last season. So a little more worried on this side of the football, but I'm definitely not panicked because it seems to be a side that they always find talent for, you know?
Right, and they have mined, Shane, the transfer portal. Once again, they always find these gems in the portal. They got 18 guys coming in, 22 coming out. So On3's got this as the 27th portal class in the country. 24/7 Sports got it as the 15th. So, of course, we lean 24/7 on it. This is a top 15 portal class if I've ever seen one, Shane. And again, not like the five-star immediate impact type guys, but what we're adding here is depth at defensive back, at running. We needed help at running back, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker. Those the positions of need we are getting guys. If these guys are not instant starters, they're going to be quality depth for the Gamecocks. And I do want to make this note because as of recording, Shane, I don't know what in the world is the holdup here, but Fazul Faison, the Utah State running back, still not cleared by the NCAA He had nearly 1,900 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns the last two seasons at Utah State. He looks to be our starting running back, but again, he's got to get cleared by the NCAA, and there's some hang-up because he enrolled in college, but he didn't play, and then he transferred, and the NCAA said, well, that counts, and South Carolina's like, well, how in the hell does that count if he never literally suited up? So it's kind of a back and forth. I don't know if he's going to get eligible, but certainly I'm rooting for him. He deserves to play, and the Gamecocks went out and got Isaiah Augusta from Colorado at running back. I think a little bit as insurance. He was at Colorado last year. He was at Arkansas the year prior. So this is an SEC caliber running back. But I like the depth they've added here. Again, I don't know. Jordan Dingle is a really good player, a tight end from Kentucky that is not listed here. Has started 21 times at Kentucky. So you're getting a starting caliber tight end via the portal. But I think some nice pieces here. Maybe not the stars, but I think we already got the stars on the roster. So I like this portal class in terms of depth and hitting positions of need.
Yeah, depth important. And I hate to hear about that face on. I hope that I didn't even know the NCAA was still a thing, but apparently it is. You know, it's just some random kid they want to punish, I guess. So I hope they get that cleared up. But yeah, I'm with you, brother. I felt like this was bringing in warm bodies in the spots that they need. You lost, like you said, seven up front. You got to have some big defensive linemen. They went out and did that. You lost your running back. You go out there, you fill up that void. So, yes, this wasn't, you know, 3 years ago, South Carolina, just getting some names. You know what I'm saying? This is a strategic approach and getting players that are going to be able to contribute this season.
Yeah, not only that, one final thing on the transfer, Shane. A lot of the big bodies they got, you know, from A&M, from Missouri, from Alabama, from FSU. So these are not, guys that are going to need a lot of seasoning, if that makes sense, to see the field in Columbia. They're ready to play now, which is what they need.
Yeah, it's like the old, like South Dakota, you know, UAB. It's like, we'll build them up. So, no, these guys are ready to play, brother.
Yep. All right, so let's go over the projected depth chart on the offensive side of the football for the Gamecocks, Shane. I'm going the best position group. I got to go quarterback just because of Lenore Sellers, and they added Aaron Nolan, one of the best names in all of college football, transfer from Ohio State. He was an Elite 11 quarterback just a year ago. So, this was a little bit difficult for me. I hate to put so much stock into one player, but that just gives you an indication of how high I am on Lenore Sellers. I'm putting quarterbacks as the best position group for South Carolina on the offense. Second position, Shane, I'm going offensive line.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're bringing back two starting tackles that started every game last year. And Josiah Thompson was a five-star. He comes in. He's all SEC freshman. He is a future NFL standout. We got your big tree up there. and we got some transfers just to, you know, battle it out and for these positions. And again, this is just a projected depth chart, but another one of our linemen's ball was an all SEC freshman 2 years ago. So I like what we were working with on the offensive line.
Yep.
Your receivers, tight ends. Again, it was very, very close between them and the offensive line, but I'm putting receivers and tight ends as the next position group. I think this is another very talented, deep group. And then I put running backs last. And part of that is not knowing Faison status. But again, I don't see a major weakness at all on South Carolina's offensive depth chart. And I think this is going to be one of the better offenses in the conference this year.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I feel so much better about this offense. And like you said, for me, it was the offensive line. I think this is a group that takes a big step forward this season. And I love the additions. I know it's not high on your list, but I think we get back to a little bit more of that ground and pound, that running game. And you do that with those big uglies. And that's how you make Lenore Sellers' life easier. So, just a lot of great additions and a deep front. That's what I like about it.
All right, now for the defensive side of the football, Shane, again, you see a lot of transfers coming in as reserves. But again, we still got plenty of returning players, particularly at defensive back. So that's where I'm going. I think the defensive backs are the best unit on the defense. Shane, Judge Collier, Jalen Kilgore, DQ Smith, all starters last year for one of the SEC's best secondaries, and a ton of guys with the experience in the SEC are back. I'm going defensive line as the second best. Shout out Dylan Stewart. I think he's the best defensive lineman in the conference this year. And guys like Brian Thomas have played. Monkel Goodwin is back. So again, we got some, and then we got transfers coming in here. So we got talent, we got depth. And then last but not least, I'm going linebackers, which to me are a little bit of an unknown. Mm-hmm. We had to go to the portal to get some depth, but all the linebackers we had were so fantastic last year. They're all gone to the NFL. So that was a big reason why I kind of put the linebackers last in terms of defensive position groups.
Yeah, but this secondary, brother, I tell you what, it makes life a little easier when you're not as worried about those guys. So I'm not saying linebacker is the last position that you need to worry about, but in my opinion, it's defensive line, it's the secondary, and then it's the linebacker. So I'm not totally panicked here. This is a group that I expect some names to start popping, you know, definitely by midseason. But I think this secondary, this is one we're going to look at probably, you know, 5 or 6 games in and say, damn, this may be the best one in the country.
Hey, Shane, I want to give mention to Jack DeVol, one of the biggest Vols out there, Shane. I defended Shane Beamer on Twitter today, and I feel dirty about it. So, hey, I want to congratulate Jack DeVol for being a big man there. You know what?
Yeah, I wonder what the topic was. I think I know.
Was
it the dance?
I think it probably was an Ohio State guy trolling. Yeah. Shane Beamer did a... Well, I'm sure his daughter was the one that did it, you know, and made it. The fact that a dad is doing something for his daughter, I don't think I don't think you troll that, first of all. But second of all, I don't do it when Ohio State has literally never beaten South Carolina. They're 0-2 against the Gamecocks, Shane. So troll away if you want, but you can't do anything on the field.
I like, I think Marler had a pretty good response there. I think they said something about he had 4 wins and all the time that he watched this. I can't remember exactly the tweet, but he's like, I'm almost 40 years old. So,
all right. So here is a look, Shane, at South Carolina schedule. 7.5 over under is the win total projected by Vegas right now. Odds to win the SEC 28-1. Odds to win the national championship 60-1. And again, remember, this was one of the hottest teams in the country at the tail end of last season. So there's great, great value. I'm not saying they're going to win the SEC, not saying they're going to win the national championship, but at 28-1 to win the conference, 60-1 to win it all, there may not be a better value bet on the board than the South Carolina Gamecocks heading into the season.
Yeah, I mean, you naturally wonder why it's so low, because again, this is a team that you know, I'm not saying they're always in playoff talk, but they're flirted with as being one of the top tier football teams in this conference. So I like that 7.5. It's a tough schedule, but I'm telling you right now, the SEC's loaded with some tough schedules, you know?
Right. Well, a lot of it too is it's just brands, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All those brands get all the benefit of the doubt, Shane. Not on this damn channel. No. Biggest fall camp questions, though, Shane. Again, I kind of hit on this, so I don't want to just keep repeating myself. But replacing 6 of the front 7 on the defensive side of the football, we got to figure out, you know, who's our starting group, who's our backups. We particularly at linebacker, I feel good at on the defensive line. But again, working just because you got the guys doesn't mean the chemistry's there. There's a lot of moving pieces, and the fact that not that Virginia Tech, I don't think, is like a serious threat. We'll get to that in a minute. But we're opening against them. We got Missouri. We got Vanderbilt all in the first month. Mm-hmm. You, Vanderbilt and Missouri especially, what are they going to want to do? They're going to want to run the ball.
Yep.
You've got to get that front 7 situated early if you're going to have success, because the way the schedule lines up for the Gamecocks, if you're not 4-1 minimum, maybe even 5-0, I don't think there's much of a shot that you're having a special season.
No, absolutely not, man.
And then
the comments. I'm trying not to. I told you not to bring them up, but damn, they're on fire today, brother.
Yeah. The middle of the offensive line would be another one, just because we're replacing everybody at center and guard again. We're bringing in transfers, so I'm not saying they don't have players there, but you got to get that chemistry resolved. And then we've hit all this during the offseason, but it's worth reminding people, Shane. You know, we call it Beamer ball, right? So we just assume that the special teams are going to be solid for the Gamecocks, and they probably will, but you're replacing literally everybody in the special teams unit, kicker, punter, snapper, holder. That is, I think, something to monitor, because South Carolina, we're about to do the win-loss toss, Shane. It's going to blow your mind, perhaps, how many tosses I have. If you're not winning the battle on special teams, you're going to lose close games. So getting special teams resolved, again, I got confidence in Beamer to get to do that, but that's got to get done in fall camp. Otherwise, we may drop a game or two that fans think we should win.
Well, I'm right there with you, and we'll get to that win-loss toss, but I do feel like this is a year, you know, there's two camps. People that say Beamer's a good coach, folks that say that he's not, and I feel like this is the season that we ultimately see that separation. Which side does he belong on? Because I believe there's going to be some games that they may not be the most talented, but at home, they should win. So I'm very, very intrigued and interested with these close matchups. Season ticket holders are going to get their money's worth this year, Mike.
Yeah, Cousin Jesse's got it right, Shane. He says, special teams is a concern, no doubt. Our strategy is to win by 50.
Well, That solves it.
All right, so win-loss toss, Shane. Here's how I see it. Boom. We got a bunch of wins here, but we got some tosses too, so let me throw that back up here. I like that little video reveal. I don't know if you caught that or not. But all right, games that, you know, as of what we know today, the ones I think should be wins for the South Carolina Gamecocks: give me Virginia Tech in the opener in Atlanta, South Carolina State at home, obviously, Vanderbilt at home, Kentucky at home, Coastal Carolina at home. So I got five games that should be wins. Is there any others, or do you disagree with any of those? Any other games that you think should be automatically listed as wins for the Gamecocks?
No, I think this is really good here, man. I think this is actually when you probably nailed. So I think
first time.
Yeah, I've been ready to just kind of bash you, but no, the only one I guess I'll mention it is that October 18th. Yeah. Oklahoma Sooners, and I'm not saying that should be a toss. I think you and I agree that it will, but South Carolina fans, they believe that one should not, based off, you know, last year and being at home this season.
No, I hear you. So again, the tosses I have at Missouri.
Yeah.
You know, you beat them last year, but they have owned you prior to that. And just being on the road, I believe, maybe unlike some others, that it's just so dang hard to win on the road in this conference. At LSU, to me, is a toss. Oklahoma at home is a toss. At Ole Miss, toss. At Texas A&M, toss. And Clemson, toss. Do you disagree with any of those? I know you mentioned Oklahoma already.
Yeah. No, I mean, other than that, I do not disagree with you here.
And a lot of these, again, it's being on the road. You know, if Missouri was a home game, to me, that's a win. Ole Miss, I know they whooped you last year. I don't care about last year. We're talking this year. If that's a home game, I'm picking South Carolina. So again, I'm not saying you can't win on the road, but that's kind of why it changed the toss for me. And then I we've done this before, Shane, where I've listed a game as a loss and I've actually predicted a win. And I'm not trying to spoil anything, but I think Alabama, that's the only game on paper that I think should be listed as a likely loss for the Gamecocks. It is at home. Mm-hmm. We don't know, I don't believe, if that's a night game yet. I think that's one of those that they're going to flex, perhaps. But this is a lot of me believing Alabama's maybe the best team in the conference this year. So, again, can you beat them? Possibly. But right now, I think it would be an upset. Do you have any disagreement with that?
no disagreement with that, Mike.
Okay. This show's a lot easier. Man. This show's easier when you just agree with everything. Hey, shout out Cousin Rick. He just gave us go Cousins. He gave us $20. Well, on one of their future shows, I would like to hear thoughts on the impact of the helmet radios last year. Seemed like very little impact. Go Ags, beat the hell out of South Carolina. Rick, you can't say that on this show, but if you give us $20, you could pretty much say anything. You know what?
Hell yeah, absolutely. And I wonder, because, you know, sometimes great segment on Paul Feinbaum, by the way, but you know, when you're talking with Paul, one of the things you don't think about is these headsets, they talk in there. And it does kind of mess with me a little bit when they're talking and telling me not to do something, you know what I'm saying? So I am curious, and, you know, maybe at media days, because we've got a lot of players going to be coming over to the booth. So maybe that'd be a good question we can ask. So, hey, by the way, Cousin Rick wanted to know.
Yeah, no, that's a heck of an idea. Go straight to the source. You know what?
Absolutely, man.
And then shout out Cousin Glenn Warsaw, Shane. He just gifted a membership. We appreciate you, Cousin Glenn. Let me look it up real quick here. Who was blessed by Cousin Glenn? Was Darnell Lee. Darnell,
welcome to the family.
Thanks to Cousin Glenn. We appreciate you, buddy.
And Mike, we got one other one here. Don't forget, Cuz Steve Up. Coming through with a membership too for some lucky individual.
Sorry, Stephen Up, I missed it. Stephen Up, he has gifted Matt Flynn. Matt,
welcome to the family.
I think Stephen Up did that just because we said Bama's a surefire loss.
He got so excited, just fired it off.
You ready to get into the week-by-week game prediction, Shane?
Yes, let's do it.
Ed, sometimes I forget to say this, but we should say this every time. Again, we're doing this best case, optimistic. Maybe, just go check our Tennessee one. Shane, I think, went full homer. A little bit of homer-ish, you know. So that's how we're trying to pick these games. And they vary, you know. We're doing South Carolina. We do Missouri tomorrow. Things could change. But that's how we do it, and we're not changing it. So, game one, Shane, Virginia Tech, the Beamer Bowl in Atlanta. I didn't realize this, Shane. South Carolina has not played Virginia Tech since 1991. So, again, you think these two would maybe play a little bit more, but Virginia Tech went 6-7 last year and lost 4 of their last 5.
Yeah.
Let's make that 5 or 6. Come on, buddy. They're getting their ass whooped. I don't care where this game's played, but I have very, very, very little doubt that South Carolina is starting the season 1-0 against Tech.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is a name, you know, it's funny. We see a lot of Virginia Tech because I guess Vanderbilt's going to be playing them now, South Carolina. It's like, you know, other than that, if they had no SEC teams on their schedule, we'd talk 0 seconds about Virginia Tech. Not a good football team, not a bad football team, but I think it's even better the fact that it's not going to be up there. So, yeah, first win. This is a big one, man. This is one that I really do think a lot of eyes will be on. And if Sellers is truly going to kind of get that hot train going, get that Heisman race rolling, you do that week one, I expect big numbers from him.
Yeah, Enter Sandman from Metallica can't save him this week. You know what?
No. Oh, man.
Any concern, though? Let me ask you this real quick. Any concern? I'm going to throw up this graphic just because I made it here.
What a beautiful graphic.
Again, Sellers, all this hype, all this expectations for people like me, them talking him up all offseason. Again, we suspect he'll be fantastic, but there's a lot of guys. And I don't see Sellers really fitting into this by any means, but there are guys, Shane, that get hyped up all off season. And it, you know, I don't know 100% why, but maybe it's pressure. Maybe it's expectations. Maybe it's, you know, you're replacing the offensive lineman and your running back to where Sellers has got to, you know, try to put the team on his back right out the gate, nationally televised, I guess, Virginia Tech and Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Any concern that, you know, that maybe all that gets to him just a little bit, and maybe he's pressing right out the gate.
That could. It really depends on him. Mm-hmm. It depends on, you know, I mean, they're still kids, you know. I mean, everybody's a kid that's not 40, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? But I do think that there's a pride. But, you know, you see sometimes that kids have that maturity to them, you know, that maturation. Butch Jones used to use that all the time. I feel like that, you know, when you have those expectations, those standards, you're forced to grow up a little bit. And for this season to ultimately perform like Lenore Sellers wants it to, there's got to be some humble pie, I would imagine, involved. So, no, I think he's cool, calm, and collective. He was in some intense moments last season and rose to that occasion. I expect another year under his belt, him to be even more poised for that. So I'm not worried about pressure here, man.
Yeah, me neither. I was just asking the question. And number week two, Shane, again, I don't want to waste a lot of time. Big win, South Carolina State, yeah. Shane. Although they went 9-3 last year, and I was like, whoa, maybe there's something. They're beating like North Alabama, Fresno West, you know what I mean? Like teams like, this is going to be a 50-point ball game. You know what?
Absolutely. No, at least their fans don't have to travel too far, you know?
All right, now things ramp up, Shade. Week three, Vanderbilt at home. I always forget about this. I don't know why, but Carolina just literally never loses to Vanderbilt, Shade. 16 seasons in a row, South Carolina has won this game. You know, Diego Pavia's already come out and said, hey, this is the game that I got circled. It seems like every time Vanderbilt has like some kind of, you remember, I'm trying to think of that running back's name. It was under Derek Mason. They had a really good running back, you know, for Vanderbilt's standards.
Vaught, it was to start with a V, right? The last name is a V.
Yeah, or maybe it was Keyshawn
Vaughn.
Yeah, remember he came, I don't even know if it was him, but it may have been. One of their running backs said, oh, we're going to beat South Carolina this year. I think I even picked Vanderbilt in that game. It was an opener. And, of course, South Carolina won. So I say all that to say I do like Diego Pavia. I like Diego Pavia to get his ass a loss week three in Columbia. Get the hell out of here. Maybe, again, it was not even that competitive last year in Nashville.
Yeah.
But this will be, I think, a completely different story with the game being in Williams-Brice.
Well, and it's funny because I try to think of the times that game was ever close. You remember, I want to say it was 2021, if I'm not mistaken. We were at that Ole Miss-Tennessee game, and they announced over the loudspeaker, and it was like tied at half or something. We're like, oh, shit. You know, of course, then I think South Carolina – well, I know South Carolina ended up beating them. So, yeah, I don't – you know, this isn't your Papaw's Vandy. You got to be careful here. This is classic trap game 101, but it helps when your opposing quarterback is coming out and calling your team out. So, yeah, I'm with you here. This is a big win. South Carolina's 3-0 right now.
Yeah, I look it up for you, Shane. You're right. It was 2021, final score 21-20.
Ooh.
I believe it came down to a last drive there, field goal. Man. Vanderbilt just can't buy a bunch.
I almost fired Beamer that day, you know. But I gave him time because I wore the sign and I told you he's a great coach. So
yep. All right. How about
you didn't let it marinate?
Week four, Shane.
Yeah.
At Mizzou, this could be. I don't want to say a season-defining game because it's a little early. There's a lot of big games to come, but man, I think though for the winner of this game, you're probably going to go on to have a really good season. The loser, not so sure. South Carolina won it last year. Missouri won 5 in a row before that. This is a nice little budding rivalry, if you will. Shane Beamer, yeah. Eli Drinkwitz. There's a lot of reasons to like both these teams, and I don't think it's going to be easy, Shane. I think it's going to come down to the wire. But they don't call me Spurs Up Mike for nothing, Shane. We're beating Missouri on the road. Maybe we're starting our own 5-game streak here. So I think South Carolina gets off to a 4-0 start. And I think it's gonna take some heroics from Lenore Sellers, but I think he carries us to a win.
You know, it's funny. We talked to Arkansas guys, we talked to South Carolina guys, and they just all of them, they're I don't know why. I don't know how. This is the comments you get. I don't know why this game's close or why we can't win this one or can't get this one out of the way. There's been some really, really good football games, and this one gets built up more and more each season, which I like. These, you know, I think about Beamer and old, what's the fat guy up there in Illinois fight?
Bielema?
Yeah, Bielema, you know. I feel like them chirping and stuff. That's the same type vibe you get with Drink and Beamer as well. And I would love to have those locker rooms mic'd up. This is a personal game, and it's going to be all hands on deck on this one, because I'm telling you, Mizzou thinks they win because they usually do, but they didn't last year. They don't this year. Give me South Carolina undefeated at this point.
Oh. All right, well, the next week, I think if they're undefeated, I think they're going to stay undefeated, Shane, because Kentucky's coming to town just like Sandy. Yeah, but they're leaving with a loss. So I'm sorry. I don't have much respect for Kentucky this year. 5-0, which this is like a dream scenario for the Gamecocks, but I think it's very realistic that it actually happens. Again, you have to win on the road. You're going to have to take care of business against Virginia Tech and Vanderbilt. But I think there's a better chance than not that South Carolina starts the season 5-0.
Yeah, I think Chet said it best down there. Shane Beamer waves with two hands. See you later, Stoop. See you later, brother.
All right, now here's maybe where the season gets defined, though, Shane. 2 weeks to prepare. You're in Death Valley, LSU. Ooh. And we all know what happened last year. You got cheated. And it's going to be interesting to see the motivations for this one. In terms of trying to right some wrongs, perhaps, if Lenore Sellers didn't get injured and missed the second half, I think South Carolina would have cruised to a victory last season. But that was last season. This is this season. You go into Death Valley. Yeah. They're reloading. You know, they've got a tricky slate. They've played at Clemson up to this point. They've played Florida up to this point. Mm-hmm. They have played Ole Miss up to this point. So you could be getting an LSU that is. Who knows, Shane? I mean, they could have fired Brian Kelly by now. You know what I mean? I think everything would have to go wrong for that to actually happen. But or you could be getting an LSU red hot.
Yeah.
You know, or with their backs against the wall. I mean, this one could go either way. Loss. I think it's the first loss of the season. Just because it's on the road. I think South Carolina can win this game. But I don't know if they will.
The thing I like about it is I think it pairs well. For what LSU's really good at, I think South Carolina's good at stopping and vice versa. This could be a big win for South Carolina. Would not surprise me. I wish this game was played again at William-Brice. I would definitely have South Carolina the victor here, but – you know, this is another coach that's fighting for his life, and this is that make or break season. I'm higher on LSU than most, and unfortunately, I do not think South Carolina gets this one. I too have this one as a loss. So, double cousin curse, South Carolina. You're welcome. You're winning in Death Valley.
Now it'll be interesting to see how they rebound, Shane, with Oklahoma coming to town. Again, Oklahoma could be very average in terms of SEC teams next year. In that case, maybe it's an easy win. You know, you blew them up on their home field last year and just, yeah, I mean, basically won it in the first like 12 plays of the football game. I don't think it's going to be near that easy this year because I do think Oklahoma will be much improved. This will be another battle, Shane, that... yeah, who knows? This could be two programs passing each other in the middle of the night, like ships, they say, one on the rise, one on the decline. Give me the Gamecocks, Shane, to bounce back. But I think the fact that it's sandwiched between LSU and Alabama, this could be one of the biggest games of the season because you certainly don't want to – if you're starting 5-0, which would be fantastic, you know, it's not a – it's – I know it doesn't maybe make a ton of sense, but – it could happen where you go 5-0, but then you lose the next three. So that's why I think this Oklahoma game is so massively important for South Carolina.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I'm glad you said that. You almost, I mean, you did steal the words I was going to use. I feel like this may be the most important game for South Carolina next year just because of placement. And, you know, these kids that are on this roster were there when they dismantled Oklahoma at their place. You know what I'm saying? And I know every year's a new team, every week's a new week, but there's a piece of you going into that game remembers that, and you think, hey, we're just going to do it again. And that's what you got to be careful because it's not the same Oklahoma team. This is a very much improved football squad and could be very dangerous, but it is at William Bryce. I do think they get it right. They got one of the best coaches in the country. South Carolina bounces back and gets a win here.
And I forgot this. I'm sure we mentioned it last year. Last year was the first time those two programs have ever met. So,
yeah,
maybe we got a nice little new, I don't want to call it a rivalry just yet, but it's kind of cool to be on the ground floor of a series like this that I don't know they're going to play every year, but they're going to be playing a lot here in the near future.
It's like a poor man Hopple thing, you know? It's like, he didn't quite play there, but he did work there. And
we're living history right now, you know what?
Absolutely.
All right, now a massive game, Shane, particularly if South Carolina is sitting here doing as well as we anticipate they will, and if Alabama's doing as well as I think they will, who knows? I mean, this could be two undefeated teams. This could be two, you know, what would it be, 6-1 type teams. Alabama comes to town. And if, you know, both these teams live up to the expectations, there's no doubt in my mind this will be a night game. South Carolina's probably going to wear the black uniforms, that black magic they call it down there, Shane. We have seen better teams walk into Williams-Brice Stadium and come out of there with a loss. So everything's on the table. We need some Lenore Sellers heroics. But I don't even know if that's enough to get it done. But I'm not saying you're going to get your ass kicked or anything. But I lean Alabama here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, depth I think is going to be the one. We're getting later in the year here, right. And some of those bodies that we talked about may be a little thin up front. So, they should have done it last year. I keep saying that. I keep going back to 24 and thinking about how close they were, and I feel like Alabama is on the rise, but how much? And that changes if Bama starts off. I mean, at this point, they've got a tough schedule. They may have two losses coming into this thing and reeling a little bit themselves. And then all of a sudden, this game becomes even more competitive, just the fact that it's at home. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it's a tall glass of water to get this one. So, that being said, I'm going to give Bama a close victory here.
I think the next one will be close too, Shay, because it's on the road at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, one of the toughest teams to project, given that they are dead last in offensive and defensive returning production. But we all know they raid the portal unlike it, you know, any other program out there. So it's very hard to pinpoint what exactly Ole Miss will be next season. But I'll tell you what they're going to be. Game 9 of the season, November 1st. They're going to be losers, Shane, because I think the Gamecocks are going into Vaught and coming out of there with a win. I don't think Ole Miss is that intimidating of a home field, and I think the Gamecocks prove it.
Mike, these next two games are going to define their expectations. I mean, this is the season right here, these two games. Ole Miss, A&M, I feel like you win them. There's a chance we're talking about you getting into a playoff. You lose one of them, you're going to be kind of like you were in 24, one of those bubble teams where just praying something goes right. And, Mike, Ole Miss, they should win. You know, A&M, they could win. I feel like they drop one of them. So I don't know which one it's going to be, but since you went win here, I'll go loss with Ole Miss. I feel like this may be one of those. It's kind of that roller coaster that Beamer sometimes likes to play. This may be the one that gets away from him.
Mm. Well, if that happens, the next week is even bigger, Shane. At Texas A&M, you outmanned them, outtoughed them. You went and acted like a bully against old A&M Shane, who had been treating everybody else like a bully up to that point. So, man, last year, what a showing that was. This was kind of the South Carolina coming out party. This was the game where you if you watched it and you had any sense, you said, buddy, South Carolina's a problem. And if they went out, which they did, they deserve to go to the college football playoff. And again, this game in particular was a big reason why I believe that. And I'll go to my deathbed thinking they should have been in it last year. But, you know, a lot of that could be said for A&M, Shane, where this is where it slipped away, right? Going on the road. This is a big revenge game. This, for both these teams, you know, I'm starting to warm up to Texas A&M as a potential playoff team. Mm-hmm. South Carolina's right there as well. I think the winner of this, there's a really solid chance that they make the college football playoffs. So I think it could be that much on the line, Shane, in College Station. So I'm giving it to the Aggies because it's the home field, but I don't feel good about it because you just totally emasculated A&M last year. And, you know, if you take that kind of confidence into the game again, who's to say South Carolina can't win it?
I'm here to say they're going to win it. So South Carolina, they're you know, there's some teams that I feel like when you play, even as a fan, you're just like, man, we just can't get one over on this team. Doesn't matter. It's like me in Florida. You know, it doesn't matter. We should have the roster. We should beat them, but then we find a way to lose this game. And I don't think that mystique works for South Carolina against A&M. A&M's a dangerous, it's a crazy place to play. Can they be a playoff team? Possibly. But, you know, I don't think they have a Heisman candidate on that roster, and South Carolina does. And to be a Heisman winner, you got to have big-time moments, and going down to College Station and getting a big victory could be one of those moments. So, yeah, I like South Carolina here. I do think it's a great football game, but again, I just feel like they kind of got their number right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who's got our number right now, Shane? Johnny Delgado. Appreciate you. Gave us $10, but he's not happy, Shane. The USC disrespect on this show is disgraceful. Oklahoma game toss-up. We stomped a mud hole in them last year, and Bama barely scraped by Baby Sellers in Tuscaloosa. Fair points, Shane. Fair points. But again, that was last year, and this is this year. And hey, if you're bringing back the same team as last year, yeah, maybe I'm right there with you. But again, I mean, we 52 minutes in here, Shane. South Carolina's got a lot to replace as well. So again, South Carolina could play with all these damn teams. I'm having a hard time finding losses here for the Gamecocks, but you know, maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe they will go, you know, 10, if they're stomping a mud hole in Oklahoma, which I picked them to beat Oklahoma. And if they're beating the hell out of Alabama, like old Johnny says here, if that's the case, then South Carolina's probably going 11-1, I think.
I mean, we're both talking. I mean, we're on track for 9-3 right now. You know, I mean, it's not like we've lowered the ceiling. It's the exact same ceiling you hit last year. And would it be mind-blowing if you beat, in your case, Ole Miss, or in my case, Ole Miss, yours, Texas A&M, then all of a sudden they're 10-2, then you're in the playoffs? That's not crazy talk. We're talking one game, and we're talking later in the season when we don't know what Alabama is going to be rostered here. We don't know if Marcel Reed's even going to suit up down there in College Station. We don't know this. Things could change, and can South Carolina take that next step? That's the goal, obviously, but you know, it takes a lot of things. Take a little lady luck. And if South Carolina has it, then yeah, I could definitely see them going 10-2 or 11-1. But it's gonna take some special luck, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I promise you it's not gonna take much luck, Shane, to whoop Coastal Carolina's ass. No. Get the heck out of here. So I think we're going to be cruising into this Clemson game.
Yeah.
We both got them the Gamecocks had 8-3 with Clemson and Dabo coming to town. Have you heard the new Shade? Clemson's God's gift of football preseason.
Brown them.
Somebody's got their preseason number one. I can't remember who, but it was, you know, it was not a clown either. It was like Josh Pate or something. I don't want to say that if that's inaccurate, but somebody's got Clemson number one. They're basically everybody's pick to win the ACC. I think that's meaningless because the ACC is garbage.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is a great rivalry. Last time I checked, Shane Beamer owns Clemson. And I hear Clemson's got a good quarterback. He'd be guaranteed second string at South Carolina. I promise you that. So there's a lot on the line, Shane. It would take an upset, I think, for Clemson to win and Williams-Brice. But unfortunately, I think that's what it's, I think it is going to be an upset, Shane. Upset Dabo, get the hell out of here. We're going to whoop your ass 2 years in a row. Send them back in. And never again, Shane. This is the stupidest thing. I don't know, this has got nothing to do with anything, but how in the hell they could ever rationalize South Carolina going to Clemson, whooping Clemson's ass, and then South Carolina doesn't make the playoff and Clemson does. They should have ripped up the whole damn thing after the, because that's illogical.
Tell you what, Dabo's that guy that peaked in high school, ain't he? You know, he just, you know, we talk about how great he was in high school, and then we see him like 15 years later, and he's still wearing the ring and the Letterman jacket. You're just like, come on, man, are you still doing this? So, yeah, I think Clemson was a fun thought. They're going to have talent that comes in and out. I mean, that's just what they've been able to do. But putting together a roster to be competitive in this conference is almost impossible. And at the end of the year, a battle-tested South Carolina, give me that, you know, not a Clemson team that's cakewalked the ACC. So, yeah, South Carolina at home, this one could get ugly, and I hope it does, brother. I hope it does. 9-3, baby. 9-3.
That's not the goal.
Yep.
We're just out, flip one other game. You're in the college football playoff. And, I try not to put too much stock in it because we've only had 1 year of the 12-team playoff, right? Yeah. And we're all looking at it like, well, you got to get to 10-2 to make the playoff. Maybe not. You know, maybe 9-3. Maybe we'll see that this year. So right there, right on the cut line to make the college football playoff. I think that's where South Carolina is going to be this year, yep. Shane. The most important games, this was difficult. Because remember, we did the win-loss toss. There's about half the damn games are a toss, in my opinion. But here's the games. I have three games, Shane, as the most important to kind of exceed expectations for them. South Carolina Gamecocks. Clemson, number one. You know, obviously the rivalry and everything like that. I'm putting that number one. At Missouri, I just think that looms so large over everything. First true road game. I know Vanderbilt's the first conference game, but the first away conference game, so that's big. And then that Oklahoma game, put that number three for me. Did I miss the mark on any of these?
A little bit. And the only reason I say that is I just think that we talked about the Oklahoma game placement between LSU and Bama. That's one that either you're coming off a high of beating LSU in Death Valley or potentially your first loss. And either way you look at it, everyone's going to be talking about that October 25th matchup against Bama. And I just feel like that one you just cannot overlook. I like the fact it's at home. And then that Ole Miss A&M tantrum, I think that's another one. It's on the road. I get why you probably didn't put it on your list because of that fact. But if South Carolina truly is going to be a playoff contender, they cannot afford, forget the whole Cocktober. They need Cock November or whatever. You know, they cannot lose a game in November because that is what, if you're a 9-3 or one of these 10-2 teams that you got, it's what have you done for me lately? And I feel like as South Carolina has that success in that month, they have an opportunity to get in. So those two I would have up there.
Okay. But no, I think that's fair. Let me ask you this. I've been asking kind of a similar question for all these team previews. Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, not surprised at all, 10 being stunned. Mm-hmm. Where would you put that number? I'm telling you, South Carolina makes the college football playoff. On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised, if at all, would you be?
10 being surprised?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 6. Yeah. 6.5. 6. Yeah, somewhere around there. I'd be surprised because, again, one of the tougher schedules. The games that are really important, I think some of those toss-up games, those coin toss games, on the road, which makes it even tougher. You know, I wish you could have, again, Ole Miss and Mizzou and all these teams at William-Brice, but you can't. So, yeah, I'd be a little surprised if they made it.
Let me ask you that one more time with just a little bit of amendment.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that Lenore Sellers is the best quarterback in the SEC. Does that change your 1 to 10 at all?
Yeah. I mean, I always want, because Lenore Sellers got banged up last year. And that's part of the factoring I'm doing here. Kid stays healthy, number one quarterback in this conference, then I would change it to 3.5. That's how confident I would be that they make the dance. Because let's face it, when you look at all the national championship teams that have ever won the damn trophy, most like more times than not, it's led by a phenomenal quarterback, which they have in Columbia. So he has that. He takes that step forward. He stays healthy. We have some help, some support in the running game. The defense grows quicker than we thought. Dude, there's no reason South Carolina can't make a playoff.
And I don't know, Shane, if there's a quarterback in the country that went from game 1 to game 12 that made a bigger jump than Lenore Sellers. So that question I just asked you, you know, I mean, we could sit here and do that for every team, right? Like,
right.
Well, what if, I mean, I'm not trying to make fun, but it's like, what if Jackson Arnold's the best quarterback? What if Joey Aguilar is the best? I mean, we could do that for literally everybody. But if I'm a Gamecock fan, that is, we're living in reality to where he could very well, and it's not a, I guess what I'm trying to say, it's not a stretch to say he will be the best quarterback in the conference. You know, that's very, very believable, at least to me.
Nobody progressed quicker or better than this guy did last season. And that's, I think, why so much optimism's around this offense in particular, because if you continue that, I mean, there's just those years that come through and you're just a guy like a Joey Burrow or a Jaden Daniels or one of these guys at Baker Mayfield. It's just all of a sudden they're playing at a different level than all these other quarterbacks in the conference. And if he keeps progressing, this is the year I thought he would actually take that step forward. I was surprised week 3, week 4, week 5, when he's just started to kind of take those reins. This is a kid that's moving quicker than I thought as far as progression. So yeah, it's not impossible at all, Mike.
Hey, one last from Ashley Schaefer. Damn, Shane's going to get this channel suspended with all this cock talk. All right, I think that's a perfect comment to go out on. Shane, you got anything else before we hop offline?
No, who we got tomorrow? A lot of donations today. I didn't know if you had one picked out already.
I've already started to work on the zoo.
Oh, shit. We done picked on them so much. We're
going to the zoo.
Going to the zoo tomorrow, so we'll see you there.
I don't know what it is in my head. Every time I think of South Carolina, Missouri is not far from my mind. So those two are linked. So I felt like it was necessary to do them back-to-back, if that makes sense.
No, I get it, man. I saw a pass the other day, probably you, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Was I wrong?
All right, buddy. Well, hey, I appreciate all the cousins hanging out. Please like, share, subscribe, share, all that jazz. Really helps us out. And we're cranking it down here, Shane. End of June, heading into July. So we appreciate you guys sticking it out with us during the summer day, Shane. Cousin college football right around the corner, and we're gonna be here to wind it, count it all down for you. But hey, that's all I got. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Hurs up.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC Podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC Podcast. Hail State.